This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
So, the spies go and spend 40 days, 40 nights, return back and give this report to Aaron. 12 spies go. 12, go. You got two reports. 12 people. Two reports, 12 folks. Because unfortunately, we sometimes send the wrong folk on assignments. Isn't it a shame that in the thousands and thousands of people that God had and called His, that he called Himself sending 12 who He believed was going to get it. By the time they come back, only two got it. Sending people to receive something they don't even believe in. Sending people who supposed to know that God is who He is, we're going to explore the promise. And they come back with nothing but negativity. Now, wait a minute. These are the same folks that God brought out, gave the victory, defeated the Egyptians, crossed the Red Sea. He's fed with manna. He's covered them with a pillar of cloud and fire. He's covered them and guided them. And you still go be negative. You still finding fault with everybody. Now you got a problem with the other children of Israel. Ain't none of them right. You got a problem with Moses. He ain't ever right. You got a problem with Aaron. He's a pushover. God send you, this is your opportunity to go and be the big shot you say you are, and you go and you ain't got no more faith than the folk you say you better than. He sent you. Here was your chance to show the world how great you are in God, how great your faith is, and you just as negative as the folks you went and left. He sent 12 folk, one from each tribe. 10 come back with negativity. Two come back getting it. Caleb from Ephraim and Joshua from Judah. The only two out of the 12 who come back with some positivity. So you got two different reports. You got a majority report and a minority report. You got what everybody say, then you got what a couple of folks say. They all went to the same place and come back with different reports. Lord, I'm trying. It's the same God, the same promise. Can I mess you up some more? And they came back with some fruit. Look at verse 26. They come back with pomegranates, figs, and grapes. They didn't leave with figs, pomegranates, and grapes. Where you get the figs, pomegranates, and grapes from? The promised land. And you come back with evidence that the promise is real, and you still negative. You got proof in your hand that God is true to His word. You got fruit in your hand that God is true to His. You got fruit in your hand that He is a healer. You got fruit in your hand that He can provide and supply your need. And you still got the nerve when you come back to church, when you come back to worship, when you come back to the children of Israel and you're negative. Okay. Have you ever, let me see. I'm on the air too, so I gotta be careful. Have you ever heard folk talk after worship? Have you ever been in settings with people a week after worship and you hear stuff they say and you start asking yourself, am I the one crazy? What Bible they been reading? I had Sundays where I had some encounters with God, and God moved in a mighty way on my behalf. I'm caught up. I'm inspired. I'm encouraged and empowered. And I go and share with somebody who was in the same place I was in, and all they talking about was somebody had on. They talking about who was looking funny at me. They talking about who was frowned up when somebody sang a song. They was looking at how somebody had their arms folded when they didn't like. They saw who sat in a different spot than they normally sit, so it must be something going on. What? The word says something about God says you can have it. Then next thing you hear, I heard pastor talking about he gonna have everybody. What Bible you read? I didn't hear that when I went to worship. I didn't see that when I was at the same. What time church started? 11, right? I was there the whole time. I was there from the beginning when everybody said, pray the Lord, saints, and I was there to the benediction. They said, amen, good night. I didn't see that. How you see stuff nobody else see? How you put that together from the message? Here it is. You know why? Because you got disobedient people who go on missions. Amen. Somebody on your pew ain't here for the right reason. And so they'll never see stuff right because they're not here with the right motive. Look, y'all, God sent these spies to go survey the land, see the fruit, see the promise. He didn't say nothing about them going finding mess. He didn't say go find who into it with each other. He didn't say go look in people's windows and see who's supposed to be there, who ain't. You see, some folk ain't come to church for the right stuff. Some folk came to spectate, not participate. And here's the tension in the text, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the tension in the text. These folk are the majority. And in a democratic society, the majority wins. We even allow democracy to an extent in the church where the majority wins. But what do you do when you're in a season when the majority wins, but the majority is, ooh, ooh. What do you do when the majority is foolish? And truth be told, part of your discouragement is that you feel like you kind of out on the island by yourself. There ain't no sense you shouting no more because they all go look at the majority, look at you stupid. Ain't no sense in lifting your hand because the majority said don't take all that. Ain't no sense in me giving and sowing sacrificially because the majority say I'm not putting my money there. And so you're having to make a decision. Part of your discouragement is that you know better but won't do better because the majority is intimidating you. Look, y'all, folk don't vote. In 21st century church, folk don't vote with their hands and their amens. They vote with this. Some folk in here right now hollering like they done lost their mind. But when you tell them about this, the majority is winning. That's why many of us are discouraged. Now, if it was one or two folk acting a fool, it really wouldn't bother you. But when you see the majority do totally opposite from what God is saying, that's an intimidating, hopeless, difficult feeling to deal with. How are you supposed to see yourself bigger than this? And everybody else don't see it, and they're in the same church, same word, same pews, same Bibles. And the majority just don't see it. And the majority went, came back. How you saw that, I'm seeing this. Because you went with the right intentions. Be careful about getting on committees. Because here come the majority committee. And you got to watch the committees because most committees that we come up now is from an individual who don't want to do nothing. So they give other folk and determine as a group, we can't do nothing. That's what committees do. They represent the opinion as a whole, what everybody individually says. But I thank God that through his grace and through his majesty, he allowed this lesson to be learned through the failure of others. Because see, what God could have done, what you and I would have done, wisdom would teach us now, take folk who you know believe. Amen. Then send them. Yeah. Take folk who are faithful and send them. He just said take one out of every group. And ain't no telling who they chose to go. So he allows the failure of man to show us a lesson today. That you better stop letting everybody speak for you. Because some committees that's representing you, look at Washington, D.C. There are committees that I got my own agenda, and I'm giving other people who got their own agenda, and by the time we come together, y'all ain't getting no help. You got Republicans and Democrats with their own personal agendas, with party agendas. Now the people who, they still poor, still hungry, women still being abused, sex trafficking, child trafficking still going on, and they're arguing about their personal agendas. And we sent them to the promised land called Washington, D.C., and look what they're doing with the promise. So you better learn how to have your own ideals, your own personal theology, your own personal walk with God, your own personal integrity, and stop letting the majority speak for you. Because every majority ain't standing together for the right stuff. There are people, I better leave this alone and move on, but there are people who will come together as a majority to shut you up. They don't like each other, they can't stand each other, they talk about each other, but they will hook up and connect just to shut you up. And when they done shut you up, they go right back to stabbing each other in the back, go right back to lying on each other, because it wasn't about you, it was about what they're trying to do in you, and the only way they could do it is have a committee. Because a majority wins. And we believe by common man standard that there's power and strength in numbers. There were people in the book of Genesis, there were people who built a tower because they wanted to get to heaven. Just as wrong as two left shoes. But God said, well, that was the first time I done seen them come together. So even though they're wrong, I'm going to go and do something for this because they came together. The people of God, the only segregated group in the world. Church of God, the only people who will not unify. And you're supposed to because you're called the body of Christ. But you and I got a Mr. Potato Head way of worshiping. I take parts off when I don't want it, put parts on where I do want it. I put stuff where it don't need to be and take stuff where it should be because I don't like it looking like that. But if you go be bigger than this, you've got to, I kind of told you, you've got to speak with conviction. You got to speak with conviction. They come back with a report and they say, we've been to the land that you sent us to. You missed it. We went to a land that you sent us to. We went to the place where you told us to go. We went over there. And we come back with some fruit. They got walls up. They got a lot of fortifications. They got a lot of stuff going on. They got some big people. Sons of Anak over there. You got Hittites and Jebusites. All the enemies all around. But it is Canaan up there. That is Canaan. That's true. That's true. And Caleb says, wait a minute. They telling it. They ain't telling it right. They not yet called it the promised land. They keep calling it the place where you sent us. They keep calling it the place where giants are. They keep calling it the place where there are walls up, but ain't nobody yet said that's the place of our promise. Because people who are bigger than that, they don't see mistakes, they don't see affliction, they don't see hardship, they see opportunity. When you're really faithful in God, you don't see it as a wall, you see it as something to overcome. Yeah. When you're really faithful, when you're really going to speak with conviction, conviction means I stand on it, I believe it, I'm going to say it. Y'all ain't going to shut me up. I believe God said we can have it, we go have it. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it sound like. I don't care what y'all say. How we going to do this? We ain't got the money. How we gonna do this? We ain't got the networks. Faithful people say that's right for God. The reason some of us are broke is so God can pour in. God letting people get out your life so the right people can come in. You'll stop looking at some stuff that God tear up and look at it as an opportunity and not an obstacle. Look at it. You got to speak with conviction. You got to speak with faith. You believe in God? Uh-huh. You say you know he can do it? Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've got to have a strong conviction. Even if you look like a fool, even if you're in the minority, I don't care about y'all looking at me crazy. For God, I shall stand. Somebody's got to be a difference maker. Somebody's got to be willing to be ostracized. Somebody looking at you. I still got my Bible open. Y'all got y'all's open still? Look what he says. Verse 27, they told him. And said, we came to the land where thou sent us. Yeah, you're right. It do flow with milk and honey. That should be enough shouting right there. Because when else have you seen stuff that flow with milk and honey? Y'all missing God. When you see God do the amazing, why are you looking at the annoying? Okay. Okay, when you see God move with a blessing at the bank, why are you worried about other customers? You got to stay focused on the blessing that God has promised you and get your mind and your eyes off other stuff that really don't matter. All right, then listen. I need to help you real quick. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on because y'all ain't got time. But let me say this to you. If you really want to be blessed, I don't know how you go do that in a closet. For those of you who are being hurt by people, those of us who are being hurt and intimidated by people, I don't know how God go bless you and you still in your shell. And you leave church and you don't come to Bible study. You stay away from everybody. How are you going to be blessed? Because he keeps telling you, the psalmist tells you, that he will sit you at a table. In the presence of your enemies. So how are you going to be able to handle that and you won't show up to a reserved spot because you got people around you who don't want to see you eat? You got to be willing to say, God, you the one served me this food. You the one prepared this table. You prepared this blessing. And I don't care who like it, who don't like it. I'm going to sit down, unbuckle my belt. I'm going to enjoy the blessing you've given me. Whether they like it or not. You got to speak with conviction. And they sitting there talking about, yeah, I do have milk and honey, but ain't no but when I see milk and honey. Y'all, can y'all picture this? A land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm worried about a wall. We saw the milk and honey, but I see giants. You think God didn't know that stuff was there and he's still letting stuff flow anyway for your benefit? Lord, y'all ain't hearing God. You want God to give you clean blessings, don't you? You want everything to be easy for you, don't you? Now, he ain't yet say you got to go milk a cow. He ain't say you got to kill a bumblebee. He says already milk and honey flow. Y'all missing God. If God can provide, at least you can do is go see it. Amalekites there, Hittites around, Jebusites there, mountains, Canaanites there. Verse 30, but Caleb. 26 through 29, they. Verse 30, Caleb. 26 through 29, them, they, the majority. That's the problem when you're trying to be with everybody else. You'll never get known for nothing. Caleb is known. His name get recorded. You got Leroy in the group. You got Boogaloo in the group. Ain't nobody write their name. But the one who stood on God's word, Caleb, get his name in the record forevermore. Because he spoke with conviction. Caleb said, look what he did. He stilled them. In other words, he said, hush. Yes, we can. Enough of this negativity. He shut this business meeting down. Do you hear me? Y'all missed it. This ain't nothing going on here but business meeting. What y'all went and found out? You come back to the pastor, come back to everybody else. What y'all find out? Well, Doc, we done went and looked out. Now, the market ain't really good right now, and we can't really find too many contractors right now, and it's too much trouble on the streets right now. Ain't no help for these children. Ain't no help. They building all these jails for our kids, and ain't nothing we can do now. And every church ought to have a Caleb to show the business meeting. When are we going to say what God says? When would God build a church? Why would God save your soul? Why would God keep giving us a word if he didn't say we could have it? We can save our children. We can build for the future. We can grow. We can walk. We can live. We can prosper. I'm just talking about business meeting. That's all I'm talking about. Ain't nothing going to help a business meeting. That's it. Just business meeting. And one person speaks with conviction. But here's the problem. You ready for this? Here's the tension. If you go be bigger than this, you got to stand out from the crowd. You got to stand out from the crowd. You got to be willing to speak up. And then when you speak up, people go look at you. Now watch out now, because they're going to call you. They're going to call you a kiss up. They're going to call you a goody two shoes. You the pastor's pet. You Moses' little mouse. You Moses' little mini-me. You Aaron's assistant. You're trying to kiss up to Moses. You're trying to kiss up, trying to be all that. You're trying to suck up. Look, you know what? Don't ever mess around and speak what you've been taught. Now, y'all sit down real quick. You know what would be dumb? Somebody say dumb. That if any leader of our ministry would talk negative this week, at least you can do is speak positivity at least to next Sunday. But do you know we got some stupid majority members here who will still hear God speak and tell you that we're bigger than this, and you will still say the opposite? And then, wait a minute, here, I'm really bless you. Mess around and tell them, what did Pastor preach to us? They gonna say you a suck-up. I'm receiving and applying God's word. What the hell else am I supposed to be doing? You think I'm just up here for my health? Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the... And that's what frustrates leaders, when you hear people talk contrary to what God done told you to tell them. Now look how sad this is. God tells Moses, I'm going back real quick to the foundation. God told Moses, y'all get 12 and go. God said for us to do this. I'm doing what God say, Moses says. I'm just simply doing what God told me to tell y'all. And the first thing y'all do is come back with negativity. You saw the promise, but instead of you talking about the promise, you're going to talk about the problems. What leader who done heard from God want to hear people who's supposed to be around them speak the very opposite of what God told you to tell them? Here's the problem. How you have folk who wasn't sent to the promise talk better than the ones who was sent? I better not park there. How do I have folks from other churches come tell me how impactful the radio broadcast is and how their life got changed by the word that they've heard from this ministry, and y'all do the opposite? Okay, I'm gonna look at you too. And here's the problem with folks like that, though. Here's the problem. And this happened from Exodus through Numbers through Deuteronomy. None of them folk who was complaining and murmuring ever went back to Egypt. They never went back. They out and still talking stupid. Healed and and you are right back being hellish. Delivered and still devilish. It's just, I guess it's just human nature. I don't know. Because I often wonder, I often look at people, and I know what God has done personally for them. How could you even go back to that? How God change your vital signs, but you ain't changed your voice? How God turn stuff around in the courtroom, and you still talking the same fools you were before you went to court? How God change stuff for you, you won't change for him. And God keep telling us, you need to stand out from the crowd. Because that crowd, God said, I don't know who I'm talking to. This crowd is going to get you in a world of trouble. Call them the blind lead the blind. What you need to do is know what God said to you for yourself. Don't let people speak for you who have not been where you've been hearing from God. And I'm going to say this to you, and y'all go twist it because I know y'all. I'm trying to help your soul, all right? I'm going to pray about your headaches. I'm going to pray about, you know, sugar and blood pressure. I'm going to pray about all that. It's my job. Do that. But I'm going to look out for your soul, which is number one right now. If you ain't getting fed from this church, stop wasting your time. Amen. Your soul is too expensive. Uh-huh. Stop trying to prove a point to me and others that you ain't leap. If you really ain't being fed and nourished for your soul, you need to find somewhere else to worship. I'm not telling you to leave. I'm not putting you out. I'm investing in your soul. I care about your soul. You go keep following the crowd trying to be hellish and foolish, you're going to get yourself in a world of trouble. My soul too costly to be wasting time not getting my soul fed like it should. My soul costs too much to go through the motions. Now watch by Wednesday. I'm going to get calls. Oh, you done put folk out to church, huh? Yep. You gotta speak with conviction. You gotta stand out from the crowd. Caleb said, he stilled a piece, he shut him up. He said, look, let's go up at once and possess it. Stop talking about what y'all seen. Stop talking about what y'all heard. Start talking about what you felt. All I got right now is some fruit. But I got enough fruit to know it came from a tree. Missed it. I got enough evidence to know there's some proof somewhere down there. Caleb is proactive. The majority is reactive. The crowd want to say why we can't do. Caleb said, let's go. Don't you love to be around people say they down for whatever? Let's go get it. If you want to pray about it, let's go pray about it. Let's go deal with this devil right now. We don't need to wait. You don't need to see me face to face. Father, in the name of Jesus, on this phone right now, I call to a question. I call it out. Now that spirit that's trying to take you out in the name of Jesus. Father, will you dispatch angels now to over to my sister, over to my brother, wherever they may be. Minister to her mind. Minister to her heart. Open doors. Tear down walls in the name of Jesus. Because some stuff you don't need to wait on. Moses say, I'm down for whatever. If God say do it, Moses, we trust you. So you say go do it, let's go do it, Moses. Stop worrying with the majority. Let's go do this. Let's run on and see what the end goal be. I'd rather die knowing that it didn't work than die not knowing and not trying. For we walk by faith and not by sight. This is a word for those of us in this room who got trust issues still. And so you're still trying God. You're still trying his word. You're still trying his people. You're still trying out pastors. You're trying out churches. And you're trying everything to see what fits your little appetite. You better learn how to trust. Oh, yeah. Y'all don't stop shouting now, ain't you? Because you don't trust nothing. You're still trying it. And you won't make a commitment to God. Won't make a commitment to the cause. You want to know that you got one foot in, but you also want to know you got one foot out. You want to know that you can leave at any time you want to when stuff get too hot, when stuff get too confusing. You still got an open door to get out. That's not a commitment. That's not a commitment. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. You go through a valley, but at least you ain't going through by yourself. Learn how, if God has committed himself to you, at least you can do is make a commitment to him. And you know what I shout about sometimes, y'all? There's some stuff the Lord done carried me over I never even felt. It's some stuff the Lord brought me through I never even knew about. It's some stuff he protected me from. I was sleeping night. It was some stuff trying to take me out, and God preserved me. You mean to tell me I can't make a commitment to him? Here it is. You're worried about the stuff you can see. But it's some stuff you can't see that's being operated, and God is protecting you. His hand is blocking it. Oh, yeah. You looking at who you can see, what you can see. You're in a season now, y'all. I don't know who I'm talking to. You're in a season now where you can't fix it yourself. It's time for you to call a professional. I hear Mary Kirkendall singing right now that God specialized. Y'all don't hear me today. Have you any rivers that you cannot get over? Have you any mountains you cannot travel through? God! Have you any affliction that seems incurable and the doctors don't know what to do? God specializes in healing every and any affliction. And he'll do with no other power, Holy Ghost power. I'm done. You got to speak with conviction. If you're going to be bigger than what you're seeing, if you're going to be bigger than what you're dealing with, you got to speak with conviction. You got to be willing to stand out from the crowd. I don't care how many no's you hear, if God say yeah, it's still yeah. Because you plus God is always a majority at the end of the day. And you got to stand out from the crowd. And lastly, and most importantly to me, y'all, to tell y'all, you got to see yourself correctly.
Amen, bro.
They stop focusing on the milk and honey.
That's right.
The they starts talking again. Because they hear Caleb say, speak, let's go get it. Caleb, stop telling us that. You got to be realistic, Caleb. Come on now, Caleb. God gave us five senses. Now, that all sound good. We all love the Lord, Caleb. It ain't that we don't believe God can. We know he able, but let's be real now, Caleb. Because it ain't like they're just finna give us this land. And they start talking about these sons of Anak. And they start calling them giants. It is a reference to Genesis chapter 6, around verse 4. These beings called Nephilim. Can the church say Nephilim? Nephilim were these ancient beings before the flood that were considered to be humongous in their stature. Now, the other aspect of them being large in stature was kings who had too many riches because their stature was great. And the problem God had is that they started mating with women. Oh, yeah, they start procreating with women, and God got mad about that. That was part of why God sent the flood, because these women who were meant for man started fooling with the Nephilim. And from the Nephilim now come these sons of Anak. Bible, it believes that they were up to 9 feet tall. Wasn't no 14-foot giant. Goliath wasn't but 9 himself. All right? But you can make stuff bigger than it is. When you don't see yourself correctly. And And they were so afraid and so discouraged in their spirit that they started talking about these perceived giants. And they talk so silly, y'all. They talk so silly. They said, these sons of Anak are so big that we see ourselves as grasshoppers. God never called them a grasshopper. The sons of Anak never called them a grasshopper. They called themselves grasshoppers. You defeat yourself before you even get in the game. Before the game starts, you already know you're going to lose. Before you go to the application, you're already preparing for rejection because you ain't learned how to see yourself right. Because you ain't let go of your failure. You ain't let go of your past. You ain't let people tell you you're stupid. Let people tell you you're dumb. Let your mama say you ain't no good. And now you see yourself as a grasshopper. I can't get this job. I can't get this promotion. I won't be able to pass in school. I won't get that diploma. I won't get that degree. I won't be a champion because all I ever know is grasshopper mentality. And one of the greatest challenges for the 21st century church is to get people to see themselves right. You see God all right. You know God's word is powerful, but you won't yet understand that you're his precious child. You don't see that you're a king and a queen. You don't see that you're his righteousness. You don't see that you're the head and not the tail. You don't see that you're the lender and not the borrower. You don't see that you're up and not down. You don't see yourself being prosperous. You don't see yourself being healthy. You don't see yourself being wealthy. You think you got too many limitations. Because you're a grasshopper. Why would a big God come fool with a little me? God, I would ask God for this. I would go to God for that, but God ain't gonna be wasting time with me. I ain't gonna waste God's time asking him something like that's petty, that's small. I ain't gonna ask God that, because that's just too small. God got too much on his agenda to be worrying with somebody insignificant as me. I ain't no preacher. I ain't got no title. I ain't got no handle on my name. And God paying attention to all this stuff wrong with me, all talk spirit of God. All this stuff I got wrong, I got it. You bring up all these cases against yourself. You done called yourself guilty and condemned yourself and ain't even got to court yet. You won't let the lawyer, you won't let the great counselor speak for you. You don't even worry about the cross that's already taking care of your situation. You ain't thinking about Jesus who's already been come to propitiation for all your sins. All you see is what you've done wrong. All you see is what's wrong with you. And now school is a giant. All it is sitting in a desk, getting information, asking the teacher to help you if you don't understand it, taking it home and retaining it, working on it and passing it. You don't see it getting a job, it's dressing nice, pulling your pants up, washing before you even put them clothes on. Go to the application, look that man, that woman in the eye, and ask them and tell them about yourself and why they should hire you. You need to feed yourself before you even win. Can I push it like I feel it? That's why some of you in bad relationships now, because you see yourself as a grasshopper, and you can never have a giant of a godly man, never have a giant of a godly woman, because you've done too much stuff. You have been raped and you're embarrassed. You've been abused and you're ashamed of yourself. Somebody made you believe that you can't do no better, but you can have better. You ain't got to be beat on. You ain't got to be kicked on. You ain't got to be talked to like that. You are not a grasshopper. But you got to learn how to see yourself correctly. And when you see yourself, shout in this house, when you see yourself correctly, you will set a standard for yourself. Failure is not an option. I won't deal with that. Some stuff won't come to my house. Some stuff won't come to my now. I cancel the assignment in the name of Jesus. Here it is, though. I told y'all I'm finna be through. I'm sorry. I held y'all too long. But you got to see yourself right. And God will even set you up. You see yourself wrong, he'll still show you you even though you see yourself wrong. Listen, y'all. Two things I want to tell you about grasshoppers since you see yourself so bad. Grasshoppers don't do nothing but jump forward. Grasshoppers don't jump to the side. Grasshoppers don't jump back. Grasshoppers always. So since you a grasshopper, keep on moving. And you done messed up again because grasshoppers don't go by what they see. Grasshoppers are sound oriented. Grasshoppers deal with vibrations. Grasshoppers are operated from the inside out and not the outside in. Thou shalt be in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So if you're a grasshopper, get in the word. Since you're a grasshopper, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, young grasshopper, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You better start seeing yourself right. And stop letting what the majority say about you. Let you start accepting what the majority said. Because the majority might be a lot, but they did not create you. You think God created you, kept you, blessed you, preserved you, spared you, for you to be a measly grasshopper? You think God kept you, sister, to be called a B-I-T-C-H on a daily basis? Be talked down to be beat on? That's what God left you for, brother, to not be loved, honored, and respected? That's what you think God? And here's your problem. He ain't left you alone yet. You talking foolish, he keep ministering to your spirit. There's a battle now between who God says you are and what you think you are. Here it is, though. You got a choice to make. Because the chapter concludes with the negativity. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and we figure they saw us the same way. They never had an interview with the giants. They assume that the giants saw them the same way they see themselves. My word to you is, you have no idea what the enemy sees in you because you don't see it in you yet. The devil afraid of you. When you ever mess around and start walking by faith, I'm telling you, some stuff gonna shift in your house, stuff gonna shift in your mind, stuff gonna shift at work. When you start knowing who you are and walk with your head up, stop running like you ain't gonna do nothing, stop acting like you scared of everything, stop walking around paranoid and walk with your head up, your chest out, and walk like a child of the Most High King, demons go shut down. And we keep singing this song, there's something about the name Jesus. When you say the name Jesus, oh, demons tremble. When you gonna start trembling? Demons do their job. They bow before the presence of God. But you don't know the presence of God when you see it. You don't know that it's within you, and you won't even subject to it. Here it is. If you don't do something about it now, I got a little trouble to tell you. Because in chapter 14, the majority won. They choose to believe the negativity, and they would not go further to see what God had. Everything ain't just peaches and ice cream. If you ain't gonna trust what God got for you, he'll give to somebody who do want it. Because God ain't going to let your issue be everybody's issue. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can put God in the box all you want. Don't mean everybody go do that. Somebody want better for their life. It's somebody in this church who want to go higher. Somebody in this church want better. Somebody in this church want to be more educated. Somebody wants to be more richer. Somebody wants to be wealthier. Somebody wants to live and not die. So look what God does. I'm going to bless you. It takes to Joshua chapter 6 for the next generation. Number 13, we don't want it. We can't do it. But it's God's. And I'm glad that God don't let promises be based on people. Joshua chapter 6. Y'all missed your shout. You missed your shout. Joshua chapter 6. We going into Canaan. Numbers chapter 13. Everybody says no. 12 people went, didn't they, Mr. Tate? Only 2 came back. I done talked about Caleb, but there was one more. But another one came back positive, Mr. Tate, who came back with a positive report. He didn't say a whole lot, but his life showed he believed. While Moses was in the spotlight, he served Moses. Because unfortunately, some people can pretend they like Caleb and talk a good game, but won't live a good game. I'm talking like I obey, I'm talking like I believe, but I ain't gonna stand behind the word and stand behind the man of God. I'm using being behind him to stab his behind in the back. Oh. But God will reward those who diligently seek him. 2 of them got it. Caleb, and I told you in what book, chapter 6? He didn't say nothing in Numbers. Got a whole book dedicated to him. Moses didn't even get to the promised land. Who you think led the children of Israel to? He ain't say nothing. He didn't do a whole lot. He went back, brought the fruit, saw the fruit. All I need to know is, let's go do it. And God honored him 45 years later. Joshua has now been shifted by God. 45 years later. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Nobody left but the 2 in the minority. Nobody left but the ones who believed. The naysayers were eliminated. I'm trying not to fly out of this church. Joshua, you go lead them, because I know I can trust you. Because you served when it wasn't popular. You stayed faithful even when you was in the minority. You didn't join the crowd. You didn't try to be like everybody else. You believe in my word, and for that, you take them in. But what about Caleb? Because Caleb stood in the midst of a negative business meeting and served the Lord. Now, I told you now, chapter 14, they all said no, the majority won. And I'm gonna bless myself and 2 or 3 more who'll go with me. God will bless you in a cursed church. Because you stood up for what's right. And you dared to be different and not try to be like everybody else. And you stayed faithful in a negative situation. Come here. This ain't for those of y'all who so offended and you leave and stay home till it get back right.
Jesus.
This for those who saw the mess, who saw the gossip, who saw the hell, but I stayed on my knees, I stayed in worship, I stayed in Bible study, I kept on giving, I kept on sowing.
My Lord.
45 years later, Caleb goes to Joshua now and says, I've been waiting on this moment. And you promised, God promised me, he said, any of us that who go and observe it, do the Lord's Savior, go get the promised land. And Caleb asked simply for what God promised him.
My Lord.
He didn't ask for the folk who didn't get theirs. He asked simply for what God had promised him.
Yes. Yes.
85 years old and still had faith.
My God. My.
85. And said, here it is, the promise. Will you please, Joshua, Pastor Joshua, bless me, because now we're in the promise. And God honored the faithfulness of Caleb and gave him the land that he promised. The only two who got the possession were those who were in the minority in the first place.